Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Friday, September the 13th. Coming up, why a bear at a Kent Wild Animal Park has had an MRI scan.
He's been on medication for some time now, which has certainly been helping him a lot, but we are concerned that they could just be masking a bigger issue.
A look ahead to Gillingham's game this weekend.
They're an unbeaten side, they're in a nice position in the league. They had last week off because of internationals, so it'll be nice and fresh going into this.
And a guide to everything going on in Kent over the next couple of days. But first, a tragic top story to start today's podcast. A Folkestone teenager has died after falling onto a railway line during a night out. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this. Lucy, a terrible thing to have happened. Can you tell us a bit more about where Tom Watson was found?
Yes, the 18-year-old had been out with friends last Thursday and is understood to have accidentally fallen onto the tracks at Canterbury East Station. British Transport Police were called just before 9:30 the following morning after the discovery of his body. Tom's family have made it clear he had no intention of taking his life and this was a tragic accident.
And his parents have paid tribute to their son.
That's right. Candy and Ted have described Tom as larger than life and the life and soul of the party. They've also described his death as ripping an unfillable hole in their hearts.
Tell us a bit more about Tom, Lucy.
Well, he used to go to Folkestone Academy and was about to start an English degree at the Uni of Lincoln. He'd hoped to become a secondary school teacher, but was also a keen actor, singer and musician and was passionate about radio. He was a presenter on a community station called Academy FM when he was a student and helped them gain the School Radio Station of the Year award in 2019.
And finally, can you let us know about what's planned for this weekend?
There'll be a vigil for Tom in Dane John Gardens in Canterbury on Saturday. Anyone who goes along is being urged to wear pink, purple and bright colours. A GoFundMe has also been set up in his memory to raise money for Demelza Children's Hospice.
Lucy, thank you ever so much. Our thoughts are very much with all of Tom's friends and family.
Kent Online News.
Some crime news next, and police investigating a suspected drugs network in East Kent have arrested seven people. Class A substances, cash and weapons, including two imitation guns and a knuckle duster, were seized during raids in Dover, Deal, Ramsgate, Chartham and Dymchurch. Four men, two 17-year-old boys and a woman are being questioned. Four people have been arrested and seven cars seized during a police investigation at the Port of Dover. Officers from Kent have been working with colleagues in Thames Valley and Sussex to check for stolen plant and farm machinery. More than 650 cars, vans and motorhomes were stopped and checked over 4 days. A Swanley man has been sent to prison after trying to damage windows at a Kent police station. Joseph Clark admitted to throwing a rock at the premises in Sittingbourne last Friday. The 51-year-old from Dixon Court was also found to be in breach of a conditional discharge. He's been locked up for 10 weeks. Police investigating attempts to break into a bike shed near Leybourne Lakes have arrested three suspects. Balaclavas and an angle grinder were also seized in the early hours of last Saturday. Today, a 16-year-old boy and two men aged 19 and 21 have been bailed. Now, next today, £6 million plans to build a new Sea Cadets base on Sheppey have been scrapped. Bosses at the site in Minster had been hoping to demolish their current buildings and replace them with two brand new blocks. But they weren't able to raise enough money after costs went up. And so a refurb is being done instead. Well, our reporter Joe Crosley has been along to have a look and he's been speaking to David Brown, who's on the Sheppey Cadets Committee.
Yes, the idea was to provide better classrooms for the cadets, insulated, to make it a bit warmer in the winter for them. And we've reconfigured three classrooms here and the simulator room, which is next door. And as you can see, they've all been lined and the electricians are in at the moment, just finishing off all the electrics for us. We had a plan to rebuild the unit in its entirety, but unfortunately, that didn't come to fruition. We had COVID, the cost of the project went through the roof, and so we decided to renovate the existing buildings rather than go ahead with a new design. And as it's turned out, it's working very well.
Just talk to me a little bit about what actually cadets do as well, for someone who maybe hasn't heard of what cadets get up to.
Okay. Well, Sea Cadets obviously, the background is for Navy, for the Royal Navy, and we encourage them in boat work, sailing, but they also do Duke of Edinburgh and a number of other activities, first aid, for instance, and chart work, pilotage, all to do with the sea, but they also do other things as well. We're continuing to renovate the unit, and this building is due to be cladded, so it will make it even warmer. And a number of other buildings we're looking at refurbishing. And yeah, watch this space.
Kent Online reports.
A Canterbury dad is calling for changes to the bus timetable after new rules forced his daughter's school to push back home time. Barton Manor School now finishes 10 minutes later to meet the minimum school hours required by the government, meaning students often miss the last bus of the day. Well, one man says his 12-year-old has been forced to walk into town and wait 45 minutes alone to catch a different service. Stagecoach say they are looking into making adjustments. Dozens of businesses have signed a letter urging the government to approve the Lower Thames crossing. The road link from the east of Gravesend to Essex has been in the planning for the past decade and is designed to ease congestion at the current bridge and tunnels. Well, we're due to hear in October if the project will go ahead or not, following a review by Labour ahead of their first budget in power. Plans have emerged for more than 600 homes near a football ground in Ashford. Developers want to build on a 102-acre site not far from Homeland Stadium. Formal application hasn't been put in just yet, but it's understood it would include a mix of 1 to 5 bedroom homes if approved. Now, a Kent Wildlife charity has joined forces with specialists over in Surrey to get an MRI scan for a brown bear who's been suffering seizures. The Wildwood Trust have been looking after Bocky at their wildlife park near Canterbury and say he's loved by everyone for his cheeky antics. First up, let's hear from Mark Habban, who's the Director of Operations at Wildwood Trust.
As many of you will know, he's undergone a number of seizures that we're really trying to investigate and find out what's going on. He's been on medication for some time now, which has certainly been helping him a lot, but we are concerned that they could just be masking a bigger issue. So the team here have very kindly agreed to conduct the MRI scan. They've brought in a neurologist to interpret what's being seen. Our vet team, Elliot from the IZVG, is here as well, accompanying Bocky. And the real plan is to try and find out exactly what's going on and work out a longer term plan of care for Bocky.
Well, Bocky weighs in at 115 kilos, so getting him sedated into a van and then to the scanning facilities did require a dedicated team. Becky Copland is in charge of animal training.
So we need quite a lot of work ahead of today just to make sure he is as calm as possible and he understands the processes that we're doing. So it started with a lot of getting him into the crate, giving him nice reinforcements in there, showing him it's a nice positive environment for him. From there, we built up trying to get a nice leg position because we knew that on the day we're going to have to give him his sedative, give him a hand injection ideally, because that's the most positive way of doing it, nice and calm. So we got him presenting his leg and getting used to someone touching his leg as well, so that when we got to the day, it was nice and normal. But because we were going to have lots of distractions, he had travel time, all of that stuff, we also had a backup. So we also worked on him turning around in the crate and presenting his back end to the mesh as well. So we had two different options. And as it turned out, second option is the one we went with today because it was just a bit easier for him, less for him to think about, and it had a great deal of reinforcement history with it. So it was quite a good way to do it. Yeah, it's been quite difficult. He's such a lively character and just normally full of energy and just such an individual bear, that seeing him less than himself and a bit slower and just going through some stuff, it's been quite difficult. So getting to today has been really great because we'll get some answers and we know what's going on with him.
Although we're still waiting for the results, his keepers say Bocky has enjoyed all of the extra attention. John Ford is also part of the team that moved Bocky to the scanning centre in Sussex.
So it's actually gone really, really well. Everything's gone quite smoothly. We got him loaded well, got him sedated really, really quickly, really efficiently. He went to sleep quite quickly as well, which is always really settling when you're doing things like this. It's just quite a big bonus. To date, everything's gone really well. I'm probably a bit nervous, to tell you the truth, because obviously we're very attached to him. He's loved by everyone for good reason. So a little bit nervous about that, but the everyone here is really professional. The guys are doing a great job. Yeah, hopefully we get good news back.
We will, of course, try and keep you updated on Bocky's progress.
Kent Online reports.
Athanet Grammar School's been given the lowest possible rating after inspectors criticised pupils being taught in single-sex lessons. Ofsted said Chatham and Clarendon School in Ramsgate is inadequate, saying boys and girls were not being given equal opportunities in the classroom. Well, the head teachers responded and described the report as inconsistent and unfounded. Thieves from North London who stole jewellery and designer items from homes in Folkestone have been jailed for a total of 8 years. Properties in the Cherry Garden Avenue part of town were targeted in May. The 37 and 44-year-olds were linked to a car that was stopped in the capital. If you follow Kent Online on socials or head to the website, you can see what could be built on the site of a former shopping complex in Chatham. The Trafalgar Centre on the High Street has now been demolished. An outline planning application for more than 100 flats, co-working and office space and arts studios were approved 2 years ago. Now designs of what it will look like have been submitted. Ancient gold coins discovered by a metal detectorist in Kent are expected to sell for around £20,000 at auction. The 35 coins were unearthed in a field in Lenham 2 years ago. The gold dates back to 55 BC and will go under the hammer next week. And an incredible story of courage and determination next as a blind veteran from Ramsgate prepares to compete in the Dartford Half Marathon this weekend. Paul Jacobs was injured while serving in Afghanistan when he was just 20. On Sunday, he'll be running with a guide to raise money for Diagrama, a not-for-profit adoption and fostering agency. Well, Lucy's been chatting to Paul, who started by telling us about how he lost his sight.
Back in 2009, I was serving with the British Army in Afghanistan, and unfortunately, on this particular patrol, Two of my pals, comrades, was unfortunately killed, and I lost my sight completely. So 15 years ago, we are where we are today, and I'm going to be doing the half marathon on Sunday.
Such a devastating thing to happen. I mean, I'm sure most people couldn't even imagine going through something like that. How did you adjust to life when you came back home and life without your sight?
It was difficult, but growing up in the system as a foster child, it was the community. It was the friends and family that embrace you, bring you back into the breast, the fold. The community teaches you how to walk and talk, and it's that great word, love, that gives you the courage. And especially the fact that I'm from Ramsgate, and there's all that courage from Dunkirk and the Dunkirk spirit that's been installed in me from one of my previous foster carers, you know, Marion. She's fantastic. She's she's in her 80s now, so yeah.
And have you always been interested in sport and running, or is that something you've got into more recently?
Not really. I'd done a little bit of boxing, moving around when I was in Ramsgate as a kiddie before joining the army. And then once I've become injured, I've climbed mountains such as your Kilimanjaros, Everest Base Camp. I've done your marathons, your triathlons, you know, the list goes on really.
And what's it like training with a guide?
It's, you have to have complete faith on putting my whole body into that person. And it's literally, I've got my hand on their elbow and we're running along, and we're whizzing along at 5 mile, a kilometre. You know, it could be the slightest little pothole and he's got to avoid that, or she's got to avoid that if they're guiding me. So it's, there's a lot of respect between us. I've got to have 100% faith that he or her eyes are everywhere looking for me so I don't trip over. So they have to be, if I'm fit, then they have to be a lot fitter, if that makes sense, because not only they're running, but they're talking me through what's happening as well. Left, right, pothole, upper curb, down a curb, etc.
And how does it work with training for the big day? Do you kind of spend a lot of time in the weeks beforehand running together? Do you have to sort of sort out your stride pattern and your arm movements and things like that?
I guess there's a bit of both, yeah. A lot of treadmill, lots of, yeah, getting out on the street, and like you just said there, you know, some people like to work with a tether, which is like a, if your audience can imagine a physio band, the guide will have that and I'll have the other end of the band and we'll run together, or we might use a baton, something that's a bit firmer, or I might have the elbow. So it depends on the terrain as well. So if it's flat, I'll probably just have a physio's band, what they call a tether. But if it's like climbing, then I'll probably just take the elbow.
All the very best to Paul and everyone else who's taking part in the Dartford Half on Sunday.
Kent Online News.
A Maidstone art trail that's been delighting families throughout the summer holidays is coming to an end this weekend. More than 100 Shaun the Sheep sculptures have been scattered around Maidstone to raise money for the Heart of Kent Hospice. Well, they've all been collected and will go on display under one roof. Kate's been chatting to Anne-Marie Kelly, who's from the charity.
These art trails are amazing for Heart of Kent Hospice. We have had so many messages from members of the public and the local community thanking us for putting the Shaun trail on. It's been phenomenal to see people out on the streets enjoying the trail, discovering Maidstone and learning more about the hospice. In particular, we had 57 schools and community groups this time take part in the trail, and learning from those groups about how much they have learned about the hospice, what we do and that the role we play in the local community supporting terminally ill people is really important to us. From a visitor perspective, we've had over 10,500 people download the app, which is absolutely incredible. And over 616,000 times the sculptures were unlocked on the app. So a full evaluation is still to be completed, but we are confident that there will have been hundreds of thousands of people that have come to Maidstone this summer to see the trail.
Now, it's not gone completely smoothly. Sadly, there was a little bit of vandalism to two of the sculptures. I understand that through fundraising efforts, you have been able to raise the money that they would have generated at auction. Is that right?
Yeah, we were so disappointed when two of the sculptures were vandalised very close to the end of the trail. Two really special sculptures, Cherry and Shiki Shaun, who were admired by so many people. There has been an incredible level of support from the local community, people who have set up their own fundraising pages, people who made donations directly to the hospice, and in particular businesses that have come forward and offered to make donations to over £10,000, which is the amount of money that we had hoped these sculptures would generate from the auction. So financially, we have recouped some of that investment. But of course, that means that there are still people that maybe didn't manage to see those sculptures on the trail and who missed out on the opportunity to do so. We are working as hard as we can to see if there's any type of recovery that we can give to Shiki Shaun. Unfortunately, Cherry was just vandalised beyond repair.
And what can you tell me about the auction?
So after the farewell weekend, it will be the last opportunity that everybody will have to see all of the sculptures together in public. Following that, on the 26th of September, we have a very exciting auction. It will take place at Detling Showground. If anybody is interested in bidding for one of the sculptures to take it home and provide it with their forever home, then they should get in touch with the Shaun team, Shaun@hokh.co.uk, or fill in an expression of interest form on the Shaun website, and we can provide more information about the Shaun auction. It's being hosted by Clive Emerson Land and Property Auctioneers, who we're incredibly grateful to have the support of, and we are aiming to raise over £250,000 on the night. That means that we'd need each sculpture to sell for an average of £5,000 each. We have had an incredible level of interest in buying Shauns from the day that the trail launched. So we're hugely hopeful that people will support the hospice, get behind their favourite Shaun, and provide us with a really fitting celebration for the end of the trail, which will raise a lot of money for the hospice.
Dover's Roman Painted House is set to reopen to the public this weekend. It comes as essential maintenance work are nearly finished, which have included new electrics, new lighting, structural repairs and a new fire escape. It was first excavated in the 1970s and is more than 1,800 years old, but has been closed since 2022. And a film starring Kent's Gemma Arterton is out in cinemas today. The actress grew up in Gravesend and later studied performing arts at the North West Kent College in Dartford. She plays a struggling actress in The Critic, which also stars Saria McKellen as a powerful London theatre critic. And now with more on what's going on in Kent this weekend, here's Sam Laurie.
Summer might be all about the music, but for me, autumn is all about those cosy trips to the theatre. So, to kick off this weekend, I've got some must-see shows for you, starting with Grease at Canterbury's Marlowe Theatre that's showing until Saturday night. It's a musical we all know and love, and now you can see Danny, Sandy and the rest of the T-Birds and Pink Ladies strut their stuff on stage. It's got all the classic songs, dance routines and costumes that we grew up with, plus a few new touches that give the live show a unique twist. Also running until Saturday night is the thrilling murder mystery Cluedo 2, which stars Strictly Champion Ellie Leach. The fun, edge-of-your-seat thriller is at the Churchill Theatre in Bromley, and there are still some tickets left. You can also catch some comedy this week as former Mock the Week regular Andy Parsons is at the Hazlitt Theatre in Maidstone with his latest stand-up show, Bafflingly Optimistic, on Saturday evening. And if you want something to look forward to next week, chat show host Graham Norton will be sharing stories from his showbiz sofa and discussing his new novel, Frankie, at Leascliff Hall in Folkestone on Tuesday. Now, for those who have an arty streak, the Autumn Craft Fair returns to Hever Castle all weekend. The fair will be at the historic castle until Sunday, with some of Kent's expert craft makers and artists who are selling their fantastic pieces and giving lots of fascinating demonstrations across the weekend. Finally, I can't talk about this weekend without mentioning two of the county's biggest festivals. First, it's Salute to the 40s, Medway's biggest retro festival that returns on Saturday and Sunday. The event, hosted at the historic Dockyard in Chatham, brings together jive bands, swing dancers, military vehicles, guided tours and wartime experiences like the air raid shelter and stories from the Blitz. And this weekend also sees the return of the Whitstable Rocks Oyster Festival, a much-loved food, drink and music festival that celebrates the town's fishing industry. There's lots of traditional seaside activities such as the landing and blessing of the oysters, the muddy tug of war and the big splash swim, as well as bands and DJs in the grading shed, and of course fresh oysters and seafood to sample from Whitstable's restaurants and the pop-up stalls. That's about it for this weekend, but there's plenty going on, so whether it's theatre, music or festivals, I'm sure you can find something that will keep the whole family happy.
Kent Online Sport.
Football first up, and congratulations to Gillingham boss Mark Bonner, who's won the League Two Manager of the Month award for August. He only took over at the club in the summer, and the Gills went unbeaten in their first four games of the season, picking up 10 points. The manager says he's proud on behalf of the whole team. Well, let's hear from the boss now as the Gills prepare to host Tranmere Rovers at Priestfield in League Two this weekend. The home side will be looking to bounce back from last Saturday's defeat to Doncaster Rovers, while the opposition remain unbeaten. The manager's been speaking to our reporter Luke Cordell.
Obviously they didn't play last week, but they're in a nice position. But that, I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you look at the league table, it's, in terms of number of points, that top half is like you throw a blanket over everybody, really. In one weekend or two games consecutively, the table can change really quickly. And it is stupidly early days, really, for everybody. So they've had a nice start to the season. They'll want to maintain that. They'll want to come here and get a positive result. We want to win the game. It's the early stages where everyone's just trying to win every game without huge consequences in the sense of league table positions and distance between. But there is no pattern to that yet. We're so early on in the season. It's just accumulate as many points as you can. Bit of a relentless pursuit for as many points as you can get in the first couple of months. So, they'll want to do it. We'll want to do it. Should make for a good game.
Do you expect them to be a tough nut to crack? Because they've only conceded one goal in those four games, haven't they? They're very good defensively. Obviously.
Yeah, they have been, absolutely. So that will create a demand on us at times to be patient, but above all to be good. Right? When we get to the top end of the pitch, we've got to be brave and confident to finish attacks. We've got to bring quality and good decisions to the moments that come our way. We have to be clinical when the moments come. We have to sustain attacks and be aggressive to keep the game in the top end of the pitch as long as we can in certain situations. So I think that just creates a challenge for everybody. And being overly patient probably means that you're not creating much action in their box, and we need more action in and around their penalty area. And that's what we've got to try and bring at the weekend.
At the opposite end, they've got Amari Patrick. I think he's scored all three of their league goals. Obviously, easy one to pick out as a one to watch as well.
Yeah, I think his stats speak for himself in the early part. I mean, they've obviously got other good players that can cause you a problem, but he's had a really good start to the season. A bit like Molyneux last week, who had raced off the charts with Doncaster. Their statistics straight away just tell you they're a player that needs watching and needs looking after. We know his qualities, he's played in the league for a while now. So we're aware of him and we'll have to defend well against him. But yeah, it'll be everybody thing, because usually he's scoring a goal off of someone else's good play in the build-up as well. So we've got to have an eye about him, but overall, the team dynamic of how we defend will be really important. Overall, the biggest thing for us is how good can we be with the ball.
When he went forwards, Elliot never started. I think he was given his break in the league at Tranmere, wasn't he? Have you seen a bit of extra incentive from him to get to the 11?
No, not yet. He's just desperate to play full stop. So I don't think who he's playing against matters too much to him. He's just desperate to get going and get his rhythm back and find his scoring form and all those things. So he's had a good week's training, actually. It's been good for him, been good for Josh Andrews, some of those boys that have maybe missed a little bit, to have full training week. Probably really helps them at the moment. They'll get the same again next week, which is good. Some are just in a bit of a delayed pre-season phase, really. So hopefully that really helps them, but he's looking forward to the game, I know that.
And finally, in cricket, Kent have managed to salvage a draw in their county championship match against Hampshire. They finished their second innings on 338 at Canterbury. The visitors only managed 24 for one in reply before bad light ended the game. But that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. Whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker, and you can also download the latest episode of the Kent Politics podcast from wherever you normally get your podcasts or from im-listening.co.uk. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back with the Kent Online podcast on Monday.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online podcast.